what makes me feel confident and what gave me that confidence that first night in our first swinging experience? It's two things. One, oh my God, I'm in a club in my underwear. Okay, fine. I'll just pretend I'm in a public swimming pool and I'm wearing a bikini. So that's kind of normal. And then two, I was like, no matter what happens, I've got my man with me and he's got my back. It was like, worst case scenario, I'll just hide between his arms and I'll just ask him, please, can we go? And I know for a fact that he will not hesitate. And so that gave me the confidence of saying, here I am. Let's see if you like it. And if you did it, if not, then it's also fine. I will not get offended.
Welcome to Deeper Sex, where your hosts, Chiara, Will, and Ali, were three friends whose lives have been transformed by getting curious and creative about sex. This podcast is about what we've learned on our adventures. It's about how sex can help people heal and grow and deepen their relationships. So we want to help you connect with your own sexual energy, to communicate and build trust and confidence.
We're quite kinky, but don't run away just yet. Wherever you're at, I promise the best sex of your life can be in your future, not in your past. We do tell explicit stories about our experiences together, so please stop listening if you're not an adult. Otherwise, stick around, because we believe we've found our holy grail, and we hope you'll find yours too.
Hello, everyone. A quick heads up on our conversation today. We talk about how non-monogamy can strengthen relationships, contrary to what many people may fear. We unpack concepts like open communication, trust, respecting boundaries, and navigating very complex emotions together. You will hear some spicy details. Ali will share how she made her man's fantasy come true by organizing a surprise birthday party for him, where he got to play with a bunch of naughty secretaries in his office. You will hear the term unicorn a lot. And for those that are new to this, that refers to a single woman, ideally bisexual, who is open to play with couples in sexual encounters, and so called for how rare they are to find. While you might get excited by all these hot details, this story is actually a great example of how communication and trust made the whole experience even stronger. Now, I don't want to give away too many details too soon, so grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy today's episode.
All right, here we are back in the podcast bed. I love this recording in bed. It's the best.
It's really exciting. Next time blows up.
Yes. You don't have to ask that twice. What I wanted to talk about today is this idea of how swinging strengthens relationships. And it's been a real surprise for me, and it's been an odd one, because when you're on the outside of this lifestyle and people talk about sharing partners and bringing extra people into a relationship, the default question that you have in your mind is, how is my relationship going to survive this? What if someone catches feelings? What if there's jealousy in the relationship? This has to be a challenge on a relationship. And the deeper I've got into the journey, the more I've found that it's the opposite, in fact, that for our relationship, bringing extra people into it has actually strengthened it. This goes closer. We've done masses of communication, and we've ended up feeling that sharing ourselves and each other has been affirming, strengthening thing for us. I wanted to dive into why that is, and is that the case for everybody? Is there something special about the relationship that we've got, or the way that we've approached the lifestyle that has made it so affirming? Or is it something that can be useful for everyone in that way? What do you think? What do you find about this? That has it strengthened your relationship? Is it something that has been a positive for you guys? Have there been moments when it's been a challenge or difficult? Is something about communication or the way that you've approached it that has worked like that? Just a simple question to start with. Has swinging strengthened your relationship?
Absolutely. I believe it has. It has strengthened our relationship in several ways, especially when it comes to communication, personal self-development or personal growth, confidence and trust in each other. It forces you to open up communication and talk about fantasies, lust, wants, needs, and boundaries. I think are all big subjects that you need to touch upon when you enter this scene.
I want to hear more about fantasies.
Don't we all? It's an interesting one, and it's been a gradual one as well, because once you start out poking each other a little bit. And it's also a journey, actually, because I think the deeper you dive into the swinging scene and the more adventures you have, you open up eyes and possibilities as well.
How about you, Kia?
I totally agree with you. But the way which I managed to tell you some of my fantasies now is very different to what I was sharing, or actually not sharing at all, at the beginning of our journey together. So it really took me time to feel comfortable in opening up, and also hearing from you on a constant basis your fantasies that helped me open up, and then also seeing these fantasies, maybe some of them being developed in certain settings and in certain places. I don't think I would be in the same place if it was just you and I in our own strong relationship on our own versus where we are today, having experience and being part of the lifestyle and having experienced swinging. It just made me feel more comfortable and more at ease in sharing what goes on in my head, because I know that it's safe to share and I know I will be judged and I know everyone goes through this. And actually, it has actually become quite exciting to share this and see who pushes the boundaries farther.
You learn that certain fantasies are simply supposed to stay fantasies, and other fantasies can be super exciting to live out. And that's, again, figuring out what are your boundaries, what are your limits, creating this safe space. And like you said, I think you create this dynamic. It's super exciting about learning about my man's fantasies as well, right? Getting a glimpse into his dirty mind, planning out some of these fantasies have been super exciting for me as well. I've given my man a fantasy as a birthday present, and the whole excitement of planning and finding the right people and creating the right setting and surprising him was actually even more enticing than the night itself, even though it was a very sexy, hot, steaming night.
Tell us more. How did you do it? How did you plan it? And what actually happened?
My man had this fantasy about naughty secretaries, and as his birthday was coming up, I thought, what better gift to give him than a naughty secretary experience? The recipe is as follows. Two beautiful, fun, and sexy unicorns. We were so lucky to encounter a few of those at some parties in the lifestyle. One sexy hotel suite with a big desk and a chair suitable for a boss. A birthday card with instructions on what to wear, where to be, and to be very hungry. So yeah, I went ahead, booked the suites, got everything set ready, had a chat with the girls that were super excited about this adventure. And so on the day, we meet up a couple hours earlier at the hotel, and we had lots of fun getting ourselves ready, the room ready for a playful night, sipping a bit of bubbles and listening to some good music. Atmosphere really means a lot for a sexy night. So we lit candles, lay out toys, blindfolds, oils, lube, condoms, because yes, sex is practice safe in the lifestyle. And we took some showers, got into the mood, dressed up in our naughty lingerie, helped each other with the stockings. Stockings are so sexy, but they're such a hassle with the garter to put on. So having a lot of fun with that. And then, of course, the outfits, little pencil skirts, tight white dress shirts, but just, you know, where you can just see the lingerie underneath. Glasses, high heels, having a good chat about playful ideas on how we could seduce him and each other, as well as what are the boundaries, what are the no-goes. And when the clock struck 7, straight on 7, my man knocks on the door. I walk down the hallway with a blindfold. Luckily, he can't see the room from the door. So as I open the door in my sexy secretary outfit, tight white dress shirt, just one button too many open to reveal my sexy cleavage and the sexy classy lingerie I'm wearing underneath, and the short black skirt, way too high heels and stockings with suspenders, with little naughty secretary glasses and my mischievous smile, I invite in my birthday man. And I give him this passionate kiss. He already knows there's something up. Yeah. So I slide over the blindfold over his eyes and take him by the hand and I'm guide him into the room where the office chair is and let him sit back. And I take his arms behind the chair and I handcuff him with a pair of these silk handcuffs with a chain in between. And then the other girls come walking over and we teasingly, slowly start letting our fingertips slide over the fabric of his suit jackets and down over the dress shirt, up along the neck. And I'm sure you can already sense that there's more girls in the room, especially by the smile on his lip. And we start slowly playing with him, teasingly touch and kiss him, let him taste our lips, and figuring out that he was definitely up for a treat by several women that night. Start undoing his shirt button, just really slowly and teasingly, button by button, sliding our hands over his chest and teasingly down towards his pants, but not entirely. You can definitely see a hard-on brewing there. Him spreading the legs a little to invite the play. And one of the girls start undoing his zipper, and I gently remove the blindfolds. And I whisper in his ear that he can lean back and enjoy the show. And I walk over a bit coy and I start kissing the other unicorn. And I let my hand slide over her beautiful body. And whilst I do that, I look at my man being teased and pleased. And I start to slowly undress my playmate, revealing her sexy body and the naughty lingerie that she's wearing under her outfit. And then I guide her to the desk behind her and I gently spread her legs so she's seated there. And I let my soft lip and teasing tongue explore her body slowly over the shoulders, between her perfect boobs, over her belly, and down between her leg, and I bend over, so I'm revealing towards my man that I'm not wearing any panties. Of course, that gives a bit of a tingle between my legs as well, because I know he enjoys this sexy play. And then I look back at him and really enjoy that connection with our eyes, confirming that we're both enjoying the play and that we're still connected. And there's this energy between us. Yeah, I get all excited now. I'm just thinking back about it. And I kneel down between the girl and I slowly start licking her and pleasing her, giving my man a bit of a show, all whilst he is being pleased by the other unicorn, who's letting her soft, voluptuous lips slide over his cock. I'm gently teasing his balls, something I know that he just drives him absolutely wild. And I'm enjoying watching him getting pleased. And I get to tease and please the girl in front of me, which, by the way, I love as well. Female play and sex is so sensual and so soft. And it can be very naughty at the same time as well, which is, you know, I really enjoy that dynamic of both. And my unicorn is leaning her head back and, I make her come, those juices over my lips, which is something I know my man, that just blows his mind. All while he's getting a mind-blowing blowjob, but not just till the edge. We won't let him come just yet. And when the girl finished coming, we all walk over and we start undressing my man, undoing the handcuffs, and we end up on the bed. And we just had this awesome, playful, steaming night. I think also because everyone was so comfortable, both in their own skin, but also with each other. And it was this sexy night of sitting on a balcony, having a few drinks and laughs, sharing a cigarette, and then going back onto the bed and slowly starting playing. And one man
one girl sitting on my man's face, another girl riding his cock at the same time, me leaning back in the chair, playing with myself, enjoying the show, enjoying watching my man getting mind-blowingly, explosively beast. Oh, such a kick. Well, for me, but I am sure that if you ask my man, this was an epic birthday present. The only issue is that topping that next year is going to be pretty darn difficult.
Did he know what was happening, or was this all being done in secret by you and the Vixens?
The whole planning was done in secret, but of course on the day receiving the present and that following night, he had some idea what was going to happen, but not who was going to be there and how many. And yeah, so that was still a very big, exciting part of that journey.
My fantasy, there are many of them that have been played out and that we've had amazing times doing, mostly involving big piles of people and all together and orgies and threesomes and foursomes and moresomes. That's my go-to sexy situation, is just lots of bodies and skin absolutely everywhere and flowing freely. I like anonymity as well. I find it very erotic, this idea of playing with people and not even knowing who they are, or them not knowing who I am, and all that's happening is the moment and the touch and everything that's happening right there. And that's happened a few times in parties and in clubs. It's, I suppose, it's taboo because in society, when we're conditioned that sex is supposed to be a kind of precious sacrament and we're supposed to have a strong bond and a relationship and knowing each other really well, and so it's forbidden, the anonymous side of things, and I really like that as well. And the way that it plays out, especially when it plays out, like you said, Ali, when there's that playfulness in it as well. It's not just anonymous, transactional, we're just here to bang each other. It's when there's an anonymity, but there's also a kind of connection going on as well. I like that a lot. But I wanted to talk about a more difficult kind of fantasy world, which I've had for a long time and have never played out. And that is sharing my woman with another man. And that's an idea that's been in the back of my mind and often there in my fantasy world, but I'd never felt able to talk about. Again, I think because it's to do with conditioning, it's to do with this idea that as a man, you're supposed to be territorial and you're supposed to be protective and defensive. And there's an idea, which I think is to do with ego as well, that if you're allowing another man to share your woman, then somehow that's weakening. Somehow you're being less alpha. You're diminishing yourself by giving away access to your woman. And so I hadn't spoken about it. I'd always carried a bit of kind of shame about it. I never felt able to talk about it, let alone do it. And it wasn't until this relationship with you, Chiara, where we had so much safety in that area, that I was able to first talk about it and then express it and do it. And it is super sexy. And we've done that a few times now, and every time it's been amazing. And it's partly to do with the communication and the openness and the trust and the security that I feel in our relationship, that I know that I can share you, and that there's nothing that another man touching you could possibly do that would be on the same level as what we have together. And that makes that fantasy safe. But I think that fantasy would not have been safe in previous relationships where I didn't have that really solid, secure connection. And I also feel, by talking about the way that this strengthens relationships, is every time we do something like that, which is in some sense a test of our security. So if we weren't secure and we entered one of those situations, I would probably feel jealousy, or I would feel insecurity, or I would feel something that was a threat. But I never do in these situations. All I feel is, oh my God, this is sexy. This is amazing. And that kind of incremental testing that happens in the lifestyle, like you enter a new situation, which is, it's not like it's a stress on the relationship, but it's like a testing of the security. And every time we do that and it comes back positive, amazing, then that's a reinforcing moment. I think one of the reasons that this lifestyle, that swinging strengthens relationships, is that you constantly get this testing and affirmation. Whereas in a normal vanilla relationship, you just have to assume, or you never get to check how you would feel in these situations. We get this constant feedback that, oh my God, yes, everything is so secure that we can keep doing this. And every one of those little lessons feeds back into extra strength for us.
There's something that came to mind for me, thinking back again to how, you know, entering the lifestyle and being in the lifestyle has strengthened our relationship. So we had our first swinging experience just a few months after we got together. Who were in this club in the Netherlands. And because we've always had pretty good communication on all fronts between us, we never really had an argument. We never really had a discussion with disagreeing opinions. And we went to this club for 2 nights in a row. And I remembered the first night went really well. It was my first night up in a place like this. And so the first time I didn't have expectation. And the second night, obviously, I did have some expectations because I experienced that once and it went really well. And I must say the second night wasn't as good as the first time for a number of reasons, different people, etc. And I remember I didn't feel any jealousy whatsoever until a certain point in the evening when I realized there was a woman that was trying to steal you from me. I was doing something with you, to you, and this woman wanted to get in. And unlike what had happened with other in other instances with other women, like the night before, where they would look at you, maybe verbally ask you, or you know, touch your leg or something to say, hey, is this okay if I go ahead and do X, Y, Z, which I would very much welcome. This person literally came in and almost displaced me, pushing my shoulder away, and that really upset me. The room was really dark, so you didn't see that happening, but I felt that happening. And so you could tell there was something going on, there was something on my mind. We didn't talk about it in the club. And then on the drive back, after that night there, you asked me if there was something wrong, and you were right in asking that. But because I hadn't really determined what exactly was wrong, I didn't want to talk about it. And so I said, I'm just processing something, and when I'm ready to talk about it, I will. Just know that there's nothing wrong that you've done. So I think what was very important is to give you the reassurance that, yes, there was something up and I wasn't happy. However, up until that moment, there wasn't anything wrong that you had done. And I just needed to figure out what was it exactly that was upsetting me. And so I slept on it. And then the next morning, we were having breakfast. And then I finally came to the conclusion. So it was this woman that upset me because she wasn't respectful, in my opinion. She wasn't asking for my permission in the first place to do anything with my man. And that was not cool. So the point that I wanted to make was, for the first time, I had to have a sort of a difficult conversation with you saying, hey, we did this amazing thing. However, I wasn't particularly happy with this. I know that you did nothing wrong, so it's not your fault. I'm not blaming you. But I need you to know that this is how I felt, and it was not cool. As if in the future you see this happening again, now then please help me out. And so how was the information received by you?
It was received very well. I had no idea in the situation itself that you would have been triggered by that. It was sexy as fuck what was going on. We were in this in the dark room in the club, and so there must have been 20 people maybe squashed into an area the size of 2 square meters, completely pitch dark. And
just necessarily 20 playing together. Let's not scare our audience.
It was the kind of room where people go in as couples and you make out with each other and you're doing something with your partner, but because everything's so squashed together, you find some bodies up against you and you don't know who it is, but you reach out a hand and suddenly you reach yourself and like, yes. And so you were on your knees and you had my dick in your mouth and I was touching somebody else as well at the same time. I was in my own little heaven. And then this lady basically dived over from the far side of the area and was trying to blow me at the same time. And as far as I was concerned, this was about as sexy as things can get. So there was no problem at all with this situation. And so I didn't have that flagged up as something that would have been a problem for you. But again, we were very early on in our relationship, so it was difficult to know what those triggers and situations would be. And that whole scene was all very new for you as well. It was difficult for me that evening
because I could tell that something was up, and that's why I initiated the conversation to try and figure out what things were. And earlier in my life, I wouldn't have been able to let that sit. I wouldn't have been able to sit with it. I would have insisted on knowing what the problem is, having to fix it now, having to deal with it straight away. It would have been very difficult for me to give you the space to organize your feelings and organize your thoughts as well. I don't know what it was about the place where we were at that let me feel relaxed enough. I guess I had confidence that whatever it was, something that we were going to be able to work through together. And this is an important idea as well. Like, we've been experimenting all of this year. We've been pushing boundaries. We've been saying, okay, are we comfortable with watching each other kiss somebody else? Are we comfortable with watching each other make out passionately with somebody else? Are we confident with all of these situations? And we wouldn't be able to do that unless we had this belief underneath it all that it's likely that things will happen that will make one or other of us uncomfortable. But if that does happen, it's going to be all right. Nothing that can happen in this situation tonight is going to break us. Things will happen which will be uncomfortable and we would rather didn't happen, and that we will decide that's going to be a boundary, that it won't happen again next time. But I have got this really reassuring sense in our relationship that nothing that happens is going to cause damage to us. And that makes everything possible. It really does.
If you're really clear as a couple that you're on this journey together as a team, might sound very unsexy, and that you have each other's back and that you put each other first at any point of time, being on this journey, of course, you'll encounter moments or situations that you will need to address along the way or afterwards, which again only strengthens your relationship because it opens up conversations and topics and maybe even makes you face situations or emotions that you didn't know you were not comfortable with, or you were actually super comfortable with and would like to explore even more. Right? Knowing that you're in that space together as a team is super important for me and my partner. I think it has increased our intimacy level a lot more, because what we share that is different from the naughtiness and the spiciness and the sexy adventures that we get in the scene, and we also share just between the two of us, is the intimacy. That is, once in a while you can have an intimate moment with other people. It's not as common as the sexiness or the crazy naughtiness, but the intimacy that we share between the two of us has become mind-blowing and a lot more there, stronger. And it's this secret sauce that we get to share also very often after we have one of these mind-blowing nights together. And when we then go back and we indulge in each other with all these memories and pictures on our minds, reliving it, the difference is that in that moment between the two of us is even more mind-blowing, because it's shared with this intimate feeling of love, passion.
For us, that particular episode was the first instance where I had to have a difficult discussion with you and I had to figure out how to do it. But you gave me that safety by asking me what's up with you, and also being patient when I said there is something, but I really don't know how to explain it, so just give me some time. And you gave me that safety. You did not act out. You did not insist or pressure me. You just gave me the space and the time, even if that was difficult for you, as you said.
I wonder about this as well. There's a part of it which is to do with the relationship and the place that we're at, and there's a part of it that's to do with maturity as well, I think, and emotional maturity. I wonder if, even if we were in this secure relationship that we're in now, if we had met each other and were doing the same thing in our early 20s, if we would be in a place where we had the emotional maturity to do this. I think it's taken me a long time to get here, and it's been a big part of my personal journey, like feeling safe, being truthful and honest, and trusting that whatever I say will go out there and the universe will respond. Do you think that you could have had that experience and that conversation when you were in your early 20s compared to now?
Absolutely not.
I was in a very different space. I was definitely not sitting in my feminine, as they say nowadays. I was very bossy.
I remember a particular bossy scene when we were six of us. Well, third. This was bossy in a good role. We were six of us in a bed, and it was the middle of the night, and we were halfway through playing, and Kiara insisted, "Now it's time to tie everyone up." So we got the ropes out, and the ladies all had their hands tied at the top of the bed, and it flowed from this place where just everything was happening, and it was very fluid into this situation where it's time to organize something sexy. So I'm glad you haven't got rid of all of that bossy. You're very good at sometimes being the one who just receives and is the center of everyone's attention, which seems to be your default, but other times saying, "Now, let's do this sexy thing."
Let's just say that I wasn't as bossy in bed, but I was bossy outside and in any other interaction and conversation. And so there was a time to then be in bed and be intimate. I think people were scared of me because I was so bossy outside. So even if I was taming myself down, then there wasn't anything happening because people were scared of me, I think. And in multiple instances, male friends have told me, "But Kiara, you're a bit scary sometimes." And I couldn't understand why. And I don't know, maybe it was just not their time. But I think there was a little bit of truth in that. I was not a good listener as I am today. I think maybe I'm not the perfect listener, but I'm definitely a better listener today than I was before. And you were just talking about ropes. So something just came to my mind. Again, in terms of how the lifestyle has strengthened our relationship. We were watching a movie last night. We were watching 50 Shades of Grey, which Will had never seen before. And we were watching it, and we're not that much into bondage per se. So a lot of the things that were happening there in the playroom, for those who have read the book or seen the movie, not our thing. But many other things that they were doing or saying to each other, I was just like, "But this is normal life. And I don't understand how this movie could have been such a big scandal, because this stuff is totally normal in the life."
Well, coming back to what you were talking about, could we have this type of relationship 15, 20 years ago? I don't think so. You need to have a certain development of self-confidence, and you've had to experience some things along the way and getting to know yourself better and learning to let go and give space and be open-minded. And I think when you're in your 20s, or at least for me, I was rather insecure. If I look back, I probably didn't portray like you quite a strong female personality. Rather outspoken, stubborn, very. But at the end of the day, also very insecure, very soft inside, not being able to voice, or probably also thought I shouldn't voice things that I wanted. I probably came from this that men should just be able to smile or buy magic when I want. And definitely learned along the way, be open, be honest, say things like you want them, explain, give space. Don't expect, but tell what it is that you need. So no, I would definitely not be able to have this kind of relationship.
By the way, we're all getting younger.
Lots of sex.
Keeps you young.
I definitely feel like I'm getting younger every day with this. It's the magic melting. I was wondering another thing about the fact that we are so grounded and bonded in our relationship with each other. First of all, sorry for that, because it's disgusting to show off about it, but we are. But it means that we show up with a certain energy when we approach new couples, new situations, when we're in a party or in a club, like you and me, Kiara. We're so happy and excited about it that I think we show up with an energy like fucking own the place. But it's a great feeling. Like, I remember the first times walking into those kinds of clubs when you're looking around and there's these super kinky people and you think everybody is more experienced and more confident than you, and it's all a bit intimidating. And now, quite quickly, we started showing up as if, okay, here we are. This is our environment. We're here feeling safe and bonded. And it's a wonderful feeling like that. But I wonder if sometimes it makes us a bit unapproachable to others, if it makes us maybe a bit intimidating. Some of these parties, we've been so much in our own fun. We've been laughing, we've been messing around, we've been playing. I've noticed looking around the room, the other couples are hiding behind the curtains or wondering whether they can approach us or not. Do you think there's something about that confidence which makes us unapproachable?
I don't know.
not everyone is for everyone, and some people prefer blue and others prefer red, and there's nothing wrong with that. You mentioned confidence, and I was thinking, what makes me feel confident and what gave me that confidence that first night in our first swinging experience? And I remember was two things. One, oh my God, I'm in a club in my underwear. Okay, fine, I'll just pretend I'm in a public swimming pool and I'm wearing a bikini, so that's normal. And then two, I was like, no matter what happens, I've got my man with me and he's got my back. And I don't know if that was the same for you, but it was like, worst case scenario, I'll just hide between his arms and I'll just ask him, please, can we go? And I know for a fact that we'll not hesitate. And so that gave me the confidence of saying, here I am. Let's see if you like it. And if you did, if not, then it's also fine. I will not get offended.
Yeah. And this reminds me of those situations where a version of that actually has happened. So there was a time a month or two back when we were at a very cool play party. We're having lots of fun with different people. And we got together with one couple who we knew already from a few parties before. And we were making out in the kind of outside space, and then they invited us back into the bedroom. And we were like, okay, let's see where this goes. And I was getting on very well with the lady, very sexy, very sensual, and we were kissing, and I was taking her dress off. And I looked over, and you were with the guy, and I could feel that it wasn't going well for you. And as it turned out, it was because he had seemed to be quite kind of soft and sensual, but the moment that it actually started to get down to play, he was being quite rough and quite aggressive, and that wasn't the energy that you wanted. We did some good communication in that moment, and we respectfully brought things to a close and ended it. But I could tell that you were feeling something like a little bit guilty or something along those lines, because you could see that I was having a good time and I wanted to move things forward, and you didn't want to be the one who put the brakes on things. And so there was a kind of a conflict going on internally within you. Like, on the one hand, you wanted to not be in this situation because you weren't enjoying it and you didn't want to take one for the team, exactly as things should be. But you didn't like having to pull the brake on that situation. That was an important learning moment for us, because we have to have that feeling of safety that it's okay to pull the brake and there should be no guilt in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely uncomfortable having to bring this up. And so it was yet another, let's say, uncomfortable, non-verbal almost conversation. But yeah, I told myself I would have taken one for the team, and I wanted the girl as well. The guy was just not cutting it for me. And so I had to be honest to myself, to you, and to them also, because we all respect each other. Respect is very important in these situations. And so I just had to say, I'm sorry, I'm just going to get out of this. And they said, oh, but we only do things together. And we were like, yeah, absolutely, we understand. So maybe another time. And then we just smiled. We hugged. Was it? Have you ever been in this kind of situation?
Yeah, it's interesting to hearing us. Me and my partner has been in the scene for quite a few years. I see a lot of similarities. So we've been through these things as well. And I think now we are at a point that we just have to look at each other. And if we can see in each other's eyes that one or the other is not enjoying or having pleasure, then we feel there's no hesitance at all to stop whatever is happening and walk away. Because at the end of the day, seeing my man having pleasure or my man seeing me having pleasure gives us both enormous pleasure. And seeing my man not having pleasure takes away pleasure from me as well. Right? But we went through the same journey, and I did take a couple for the team along the way, and so did my man. But we also quickly realized it was not worthwhile. And also to enjoy that afterglow together, which is so explosive and sexy and fun, to be able to do that, you both have to be able to walk away with an awesome experience. Again, you figure out along the way what works, what doesn't work, what is your code of, oh, let's get out of here, honey. And in that sense, it also strengthens the relationship, right? You get to know each other better. I think for me, my partner, have been together for 15 years now. Adding this lifestyle to our life has done that we are able to keep the excitement in our relationship, right? The first couple of years, the excitement is there automatically. We're still exploring and getting to know each other, and then you move into exploring toys and sexy underwear and sexy getaways and sexy porn. And before you know it, you went through the repertoire, then you maybe repeat it, rinse and repeat a couple of times. And then you're like, okay, how can we spice things up? And that excitement of newness disappears, that when you went out on the first date and you planned the first naughty fantasy with being in the swinger scene, we can keep up that excitement, right? We go on exciting dates and exciting parties, and we explore exciting themes. Yeah, in terms of strengthening how the lifestyle strengthens our relationship, I also think it really adds a lot of excitement to our relationship.
There's something that just came to mind. I was having a conversation with one of the few friends that knows whereabouts. And she was asking, Chiara, what is the need for this? And what I really want to stress on is that there is absolutely no need for this. And this is something that we repeat to each other. I do not need anyone else in our relationship. If one of us wanted to pull out, we would immediately be able to stop it and communicate about it and understand. There is no need for this. It's something that we want to do and we will continue to do. But the moment that it starts becoming a need, our relationship is something less without this, then that's where we need to have a conversation. So I think this is something that's important to mention, because I know maybe a lot of people that are listening might say, oh, but I don't need this, or oh, but I need this, and what if I start doing this and I can't go back? So I think it's just an interesting point of reflection for us here and for whoever is listening. It is not a need.
It's nice seasoning. It's like chili flakes or pasta
or lube.
I think that's true of sex in general. Even in a vanilla relationship between partners, if sex is something that a person feels they need, it's like a craving, it's something that they need to get for themselves, the sex is not going to be good. The alternative is desire. If sex is something that you want, that you desire, that you're filled with desire for the other person, and that's why you're having sex so much better. That kind of needy, craving approach to things is almost more like an addictive behavior. It's like needing a cigarette or needing a sugar rush or needing a drink or something like that. That's not a good reason to have a cigarette or a sugar rush or a drink. It's actually a reason to look into yourself as to why you have that need. Whereas really enjoying food or desiring your partner is the place where you should approach sex and sensuality from anyway as a person. So I think what we're talking about is the kind of relationship version of that. We enjoy desiring and consuming something extra, but we don't have a craving or a hole to fill. But there's one more point I wanted to reflect on, just following on, Ali, from what you were saying about how we enjoy our partners receiving pleasure. There was a beautiful moment when the four of us were playing together, and me, Chiara, and you and your partner, and I can't remember if we were all having sex at the same time, but definitely we were swapped over. And I remember looking over and you two were having a beautiful moment. But Ali, your partner was looking at you. I could see in his eyes that he was absorbing the pleasure that you were getting in that moment. So in his body and in his experience, he was having an amazing sexy time with Chiara. But what he was thinking and what he was feeling is, oh my God, my woman is doing this right next to me right now. And it made me smile, and it made me feel so connected and grounded in that moment, partly because I was doing the same. I was looking over at Chiara and I was seeing how much she was enjoying the moment and in the passion of it. And there was this beautiful crossover of, we're enjoying ourselves with the person who we're being intimate with right now, but we're especially enjoying it because we can know and see and feel that our partners are receiving the pleasure in that way. And it's a magical connection that way. I'm so grateful that we found you guys, that we're all on the same wavelength with that kind of thing.
Feeling is absolutely mutual, but also what I find really interesting is that eye connection that you make with your partner in that moment, somehow, even though you're not physically interacting with each other, but that you're interacting through eye connection can be such a turn on, is pretty mind-blowing. Yeah, it's that tingle that it sends down your spine, and that connection through eyes is so powerful.
All right, that's it for today. We hope you enjoyed our stories. If you're craving for more, you can grab our free guide, 10 phrases to help you start deeper conversations with your partner. The download link is in the show notes. If you have any questions, topic suggestions, or simply want to share your own experience anonymously, do send us an email or connect on social media. Our contacts are also in the show notes. And if you enjoyed today's conversation or learned something useful, don't forget to subscribe or even give us a 5-star rating. The more people do that, the more this podcast can help others in similar situations. And this is how you can help us pay it forward.